Hi, welcome to the Chatbot Bot project. My name is Caio Calado, and I will have conversations about bots with many experts from all around the world. Together, we are going to learn from them. We are going to learn about their thoughts, their experiences, and also their advices on creating conversational experiences. I hope that all these conversations will give you a comprehensive picture about our industry, and also to prepare you to create your own conversational experiences. On this episode, I'm talking to Dennis Yang. Dennis is the co-founder and chief product officer at Dashbot, an analytics platform for conversational interfaces based in San Francisco, California. He's going to focus on how analytics can be important to your bot and also how you can use it to evolve your conversations. I'm really excited to have these conversations and to share them with you. And we are going to get back right after this message.
Hi, my name is Sergio Passos. I'm CTO at Tank. We are the leading Brazilian company for conversational apps and chatbots. Being the mobile market for more than 19 years has given us the expertise to build great conversational experience. To do so, we use Blip, our platform that integrates the best tools to build, run, and evolve chatbots. We believe that a single message can change the world, and that's why we think it is so relevant to chat about bots.
Hello, everybody. Today we are with Dennis. Thank you for having us here.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for having me.
I would like to start with your start, like your path until you get to the Dashbot. How was it? Like, how did you start the
business? For me personally, I've been working in technology since 1997. Dashbot is my fifth startup that I've been involved with. I was the ninth employee at two startups before. I founded a technology blog kind of way back in the early 2000s. And then my last startup, we sold to eBay in like 2014. After that, I was trying to figure out what to do next. So we were making a lot of bots.
For Messenger?
We were building bots for Slack. So we actually built a bot called Game Monk for Slack, which is a bot that allows you to play games with your team. And what happened was when we launched this bot, people started using it. They were playing lots of games with it, talking with it, but we couldn't see what was happening at all. So, you know, we were like, hey, cool. Like, this is great. People are using it. So we went to try and find out what happened in the bot, and we realized that we couldn't see what was happening, and we couldn't see how many people were talking to it and what they were saying. And that's when we realized that analytics for bots and conversational interfaces was the big need. So we put a pause on the development for Game Monk, which still continues to be very popular. It's, I think, still one of the most popular bots on Slack. And then we focused on building a Dashbot. So that's when we started on that project. And it was great because, you know, when we were making Dashbot, we weren't imagining what you might need as a bot builder to understand your bot, because we ourselves were bot builders. So we were initially just building features that we wanted to understand in our bot.
And if you have like one thing to say about like Dashbot that makes sense for you, but it doesn't make sense for others, what would be like?
So Dashbot, we are built from the ground up as an analytics solution and platform for conversational interfaces. So what we found was when we were making bots ourselves, there are other analytics solutions you could use. Like basically you can send an event to an analytics saying, hey, conversation started, this person said this thing, but then the analytics solutions are, if they're designed for websites or mobile applications, it doesn't work for a conversation. So that's what we really, That's the one thing that we've done with Dashbot, which is from the very, very foundation, we have designed Dashbot as an analytic solution for conversational interfaces.
And then that doesn't mean that it's only one channel, it's like all the channels, right?
Yes. So we support, we started with Slack and Facebook, but we also support any conversational interface that, you know, via Line, Twitter, SMS, if you have WhatsApp. And lately we've actually also launched into voice applications as well. So we realized that the conversational tools and analytics that we developed for chatbots work very well for conversational voice apps as well. So for the Alexa and Google Assistant, we support analytics for those platforms as well. And basically anything that you can model as a series of messages between two parties can be put into Dashbot and understood through Dashbot.
All right. I wonder if you have like a good definition of bots and how do you see them and how companies should see them?
So we can take kind of one step back, and I'm really excited about kind of conversation as a UI in general. If you look at the evolution of human-computer interaction, the web kind of took all of this information and made it accessible via online and connected computing. No, the mobile device took all of that information and put it into your pocket, right? And I think conversation is the next step after web and mobile to basically make information even more easily accessible by more of the world's population. And the reason is this: I think we as technologists are really familiar with using keyboards and we can even use SQL to access all this information. And from a technology standpoint, it's really easy for us. But conversation is the first interface that we learn as humans. It's the first.
It's the way that we start.
It's the way that we communicate, right? So we're very excited about being able to communicate and understand technology in the same way that we as humans, really the foundation of human knowledge is communication and conversation. So the idea of being able to interface with technology in that same way is why we're building Dashbot, why we're so excited in working in conversational UI.
Do you see some like huge opportunities that the companies are missing, or do you have like any tips or any advices on that?
So one promising thing is that with each platform shift from web to mobile to conversation, the adoption speed with which I think overall society and overall companies adopt seems to be getting faster. That's what's so exciting about this is because, I first got on the web around like 95, 96, and that took the web transformation took, 10 to 15 years to really take hold. Mobile took half that time.
Yeah,
right?
It took like 10. Yeah. It's crazy because it changed the way that we communicate.
It's completely different now.
It's crazy.
Mobile took all that, and now there's billions of devices in everyone's pockets.
Yeah, mobile is everywhere, right? And that took half the time, I think. Yeah.
That web kind of took to become really ubiquitous. And I think conversation, we're seeing it, being adopted even more quickly, right? So we're only 2 years after Facebook launched their kind of bot integration, and already we're seeing it accelerate at a really amazing rate. And the same thing with voice applications, right? So we're seeing really this past year for the Alexa and Google Assistant platforms to really start to hit adoption. And that's only typically, they started in the US. As they start launching more countries, like that's just gonna go even more quickly, right?
And it's getting to the point that this is becoming invisible. Like, we have Alexa here.
Yes.
And we have the Google Home here.
Yes.
And we have the Siri here.
Yeah.
And you don't have, like, an Apple Watch.
Right? I have a normal watch yet.
Okay. But, like, those things are embedded in our everyday lives.
Right.
I don't think that we are in a point that just, like, touch and then just use it.
Mm-hmm.
But we are getting there really soon.
We're getting there. I mean, I think some of the most amazing concepts from science fiction are almost here, right? Like Star Trek was one of my favorite things as I was, growing up watching, and having that ever-present computer listen to Captain, Picard and answer his questions. That's where we are now. You can ask Siri questions. You can ask Alexa or Google Home questions just without even taking out your laptop or your mobile phone now. And I think the ubiquity of computing is where we're going, like the ubiquity of presence as well as the ubiquity of interface, right? Where anyone without very much training should be able to understand and interact with technology. And I think the next step is that they don't even really think about that they're interacting. They're just getting things done, right? Without, I have to learn this skill of computer programming or using a computer. Now it's just, I wonder if I could just do this and it works.
I have like 26 years.
Yeah.
I lived a little bit of this transition, like
yes.
from coming from computer to going to mobile and now having things that I can talk to it.
Right.
What do you think about the future for like those people that are getting today with this technology? Let me just
yeah.
you have a tutor now.
Yes. Yeah. And I have an 11 a child, and I wonder, you know, things I wonder are in the same way that not that many people nowadays know how to drive a stick shift car. Like, will he? I'll teach him as a novelty, I think, how to drive. Will he even need to be able to type?
See, this is how it did. Like, this
yeah.
is how it used to be.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some of the more amusing things are like the save button, right? I think today's call that a save button. They don't know that it's actually a floppy disk that existed in the physical world, right? And I wonder what type of interactions like the kids of today will find basically completely normal and don't even think about how they got to how they're interacting with you know computers and technology, right? So
yeah, like there is a like a not really old but like a 2-3 years commercial
mm-hmm.
in Brazil that is just like, we give like people some old devices.
Oh yeah.
And then we give them like iPads. So
right.
there is one that is really funny. It's just like a baby.
Yeah.
She's holding like a magazine and then she's just like
yeah. And that's what's amazing is these interfaces are so intuitive that a baby sees a screen now and sees us interacting this way and you know, she thinks that's how you interact with everything. In the same way, like, you know, my niece, who is one year old, you say Alexa, and she'll immediately turn to Alexa and expect a response, right? So these interfaces they feel really intuitive and natural, and you can see how intuitive they are because our children learn them so quickly.
What do you think about the invisible interactions or the invisible
yeah.
Conversations that we can have these machines today that can be helpful for us adults? Like, what do you talk to your Alexa? Like for me,
mm-hmm.
usually I just like create reminders. I ask about the weather. Like
yep.
Oftentimes I'm just like packing up to travel and then I ask Google, like, how
yeah.
is the weather on that city? So, oh, okay. I might
right.
need like a jacket. What? How do you use it? Like,
yeah, I mean, we, you know, I have Google and Alexa all over my house. I use it all the time for timer, right? So when you're cooking, now instead of the old timer used to be, you would go to, you know, you have a timer and you would turn it and set it. Then it became, you would use your phone and set the timer there. Now it's just you cooking, you like, Alexa set a timer for 5 minutes, and it's so convenient and so easy, right? That's one, I think, huge use case of, it's funny to have such an expensive, fancy machine for a timer, but it's something that you do all the time. And just when you have the ubiquity of a voice interface like that, it's really, really convenient, right? In the same way, you know, we obviously ask for weather. I play games a lot. I play Jeopardy all the time. It's a super fun game you know, to play, as well as, especially when you have kids, you can also ask, you're running around, you can ask about the weather, you can listen to the news without kind of stopping and being in front of your computer or having your phone out, which I really like as well. So
coming through the dashboard perspective,
yeah.
what kind of like data or user are you starting to see now?
So some of the more, I guess, with conversational interfaces, there are a lot of different types of use cases that I find interesting, right? The obvious ones, I think, are the customer facing, like customer support, customer care, makes a lot of sense, right? Like I know when I'm interfacing or complaining, or a lot of times complaining for or asking for support with a company, presented with the options of emailing them, calling them, or chatting with them, I always pick the chat, because it allows chat, at least on a text basis, allows me to continue doing whatever it is I'm doing, kind of have an asynchronous-ish sort of multitasking type interface with customer support, because you know the other interface is email is too slow, right? Phone is too high bandwidth because I have to stop everything I'm doing and talk to them. And chat is the perfect forum for customer support because it allows me to interact with the customer support person, with the exact kind of percentage of attention that I want to give them. So I think that's a really interesting use case for a chatbot, because a lot of the queries that I'm asking a customer support person, they're actually taking my question, typing it into some sort of knowledge form, and like looking up information and getting back to me. So I think that's one great use case that we're definitely seeing. The other ones that I really like are, you know, I think continued remarketing is obvious. Chat is a great kind of lightweight medium to communicate with your customers. Email is okay, it's directed, but it gets flooded in this whole stream of spam emails. Phone call, obviously, again, if I call you, I'm like, I don't want to be marketed to by a phone call, because I have to stop everything I'm doing, right? So that's why chat is such a nice, it's the appropriate amount of interrupt for the appropriate kind of message that can be personalized, right? Personalization, I think, is really amazing. It's an amazing opportunity for chatbots as well, because I know exactly that I'm talking to you and who you are, then I can tailor that message specifically for you around what you're interested in or what you've asked about before. So this promise of like personalized marketing that we've heard from like web and mobile, I think really chatbots are a huge opportunity to make good on that promise. And then the other use case that I actually am seeing that I really love is internally facing corporate bots. Because corporations, sometimes we forget that like we all work with humans, right? So large organizations of people are also interacting with a knowledge base of corporate knowledge, right? Typically organized in a corporate intranet of some sort. So imagine, instead of looking through your corporate intranet for what's the HR policy on our vacation days, finding that information through a chatbot, right? Logging your hours through a chatbot.
Workflow stuff.
Workflow, right? So, hey, what's the status of this project? Instead of going to and looking in all of my different tools, conversation seems like that would be an amazing interface for that.
Right. So I wonder if you have like any thoughts about like why it is so hard to create like a successful like chatbot.
Yeah.
Why most, not only like companies, but also like makers, bot makers, like developers, designers, why mm-hmm. why don't they get to create something that is kind of successful?
I mean, there's a few things. I think in general, conversation it's a tool, right? It's an interface. And it's the same thing, I think. Like, why can't we create a successful website or mobile app or anything if it's not focused on doing something specific? It's very difficult to make that successful. And a conversational interface has the added complexity that it has just a bare text box a lot of times. And that there's a UI concept of affordance, right? That comes into play, especially with chatbots. If you afford the user the ability to do anything, then they're going to do anything, right? If you guide them and say, hey, you know, I'm Dennis, I'm good at these, you can ask me these three things, then if you ask me something else, then I may or may not answer that, right? And I think having that idea in mind is important. If you think about meeting me, right, you don't know who I am, like, what are you going to say? You're not just going to jump into, like, hey, what do you think about, you know, the weather in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right? Why would you ask me that if you've never met me before?
Yeah. Sometimes I see that most people try to do that and then doesn't work. So like, this is not good.
Right. And they're like, Dennis is dumb. It's like, well, no, you just met me.
Hold on.
Why are you asking me something completely random? What would give you that idea that I would know that information? And I think that's one of the most important things is, you know, when designing a chatbot, it's to communicate what you're good at, right? In a short, succinct manner, either through the branding of how you got there or an introductory message, right? And I think take a look at the conversational interfaces that we have in real life and kind of understand, you know, for example, when I walk up to the Starbucks counter, I know that my interaction with the barista is going to be scoped within the realm of I'm going to order coffee with you, right? So I'm not going to ask for a hamburger. I could actually ask them how their day is going, right? But maybe I will take a view of the context in the coffee shop and make sure that they're not busy to understand that social cue of, okay, you know, it is appropriate at this time to ask this question, right? And I think that same concept can be extended to conversational interfaces. Like, is, you know, would you expect the Starbucks, you know, if there was a Starbucks chatbot to understand, you know, random questions? Maybe not, because you probably wouldn't ask that of a Starbucks barista, right? So, and I think that type of context setting and expectation setting is important when designing these conversational interfaces.
Yeah, like I came from computer science, but yeah. Today I work with design.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I go talk to designers about chatbots,
yeah.
They believe that, oh, I'm not going to do that. Like, I need to know AI. I need to know this stuff. And then just like, no, you don't need to do that. You need to focus on the mental models,
right?
Or to understand like people needs, or have like a broader vision of the service design or the system itself,
right?
And try to create like an experience that can make the person to just go to that flow, to that specific point. I know that creating like a good conversation is hard.
Yes.
And you guys have like an amazing tool that help people to see if the conversation is going well or not, and how they can make it better.
Mm-hmm.
How do you believe that the dashboard can be helpful for like companies and also designers or even developers or any kind of people to improve and to create like a successful chatbot?
Yeah, I mean, why even do analytics, right? Because we could totally have made this game bot, our game bot, made it and threw it out there in the world, right? And
without knowing,
I'm done. I made it. It's out there, and the only. And I don't care about the feedback because I made it, and that's it. Like, you could totally do that. If that's the way you want to make product, then analytics are not for you. Like, analytics is about listening and learning, right? So what is happening with your product? Is it doing what you think it should be doing? Are your users expecting different things? Like, this whole concept of like expectation and affordance. And then, is your product achieving the goal that you think it should be achieving, right? And that's what Dashbot is about. It's about listening and presenting to you actionable information with which you take that as feedback and then make improvements on your product, right? So that's at a very high level. That's what any analytics or listening or improvement tool should do. So with that in mind, you know, at a very high level, integration with Dashbot is basically, every time your bot receives a message, you send us a copy. Every time your bot sends a message, you send us a copy. And we can start reconstructing that entire transcript for you. You can view the transcript, which is very helpful, right? For those of us that have done web and mobile design, like, we used to have to imagine, given a website, we're like, cool. So they came to the homepage. They clicked on this product page, and they added to cart. So I think they want this product now. And now they disappeared, right? It's like, and so you're trying to guess by these almost like tiny little flashes of information what people were doing. With conversation, you can actually see, you know, I say, you know, hey, you know, I would love a black sweater. You're like, okay, cool, that has some texture to it. It's like, I would love a black sweater for my brother. That's actually more information than just clicking on a black sweater product page, right? So you're starting to get more texture and information about why this person wants something. And I think that's really amazing with conversation, is that from the web days, you only know, cool, this person wants a black sweater. With conversation, now you can add texture to it. You can be like, cool, why do they, is it a gift? Is it for themselves? And I think that type of interaction is what we had when we had the real world store, where you walked into a store and you talked to the sales clerk and said, I would love, you know, I'm looking for a sweater for my, you know, for a gift. And they take all those inputs and come up with that product. And I think, you know, when we moved a lot of these interfaces online, we lost a lot of that nuance, right? A lot of that texture, a lot of that interesting data that we had when we had these real world interactions. And I think that's, you know, at the very, very core of conversational interfaces is putting more human into our human-computer interaction, right?
Yeah, sometimes I say that, like, mail marketing is great, mm-hmm. but it's just like a letter.
Yeah.
It just gives you, like, a set of actions or interactions that you can do it. You can only read it and click, that's mm-hmm. all. When you have, like, a conversation with a brand, it's just like a whole world of actions that you can have it just right away.
Yeah.
And therefore, you also can have, like, data to just like to have to create or improve your business. I know that you guys have been doing like this and helping other companies and people and even countries to see what is going on in the bot world.
Yes.
Once in a while, you share like a global report with the analytics about all the bots that there are in the market. Yep. Can you explain a little bit about what is this, why you guys do this?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, we believe that like sharing knowledge globally, like for the bot ecosystem, helps the entire ecosystem improve and learn, right? So one of our favorite lessons that we learn over and over and over again is, for example, you know, one of the most common messages that Facebook bots receive is like the thumbs up, right?
Yeah, right.
Thumbs up. So many bots don't take that as, like, they don't understand that input, right? So you and I, if you and I have never met before, you ask me a question on Messenger, I send a thumbs up, I think just we did it today, you know what that means, right? Like it means, yeah, I got it. So so that's the reason why we share kind of some of these learnings, like, hey, everyone, like thumbs up is one of the most popular messages.
Be ready.
Be ready for it. And I think, you know, those lessons that we can share on kind of an aggregate level that helps everyone, it lifts the entire ecosystem. Because every time a user sends a thumbs up to a bot and that bot breaks or doesn't understand it, is the next time they want to send a thumbs up to a bot, they'll start to be like, is this the right thing? Like, it's a bot, so it probably won't understand. But every time that they send a thumbs up to a bot and the bot responds in the right way, which is like, cool, got it, or something, then it adds to their feeling that bots understand what they're saying, which helps the entire bot ecosystem, right? So the more that you trust and believe in this technology, the better for everyone. So I want to make sure, like, our goal is every bot interaction is delightful, right? So, and has the appropriate response. And I think that's why we build Dashbot, and that's why we're sharing some of this, like, aggregate knowledge across the ecosystem.
Nice. And since you talk about, like, sharing knowledge, I would like to start to finish.
Yeah.
And I know that the AI, automation, and bots, they're really coming.
Yeah.
They're coming for sure.
Yeah.
And we need to make people ready or prepare for that the future that is.
Yeah.
It's almost here, but we still have like a long way to go.
Yes.
I wonder if you have like any advices or any tips that can help not only people, but companies to be ready for what is coming the next 1, 3, or 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about feedback, right? And like making sure that you're not just designing bots once, launching them, and just saying like,
throw it
away. Just, I'm done. Like we're always always have a culture of improvement, like looking at how your bot is performing, learning from that information, and then iterating and improving, right? So, and that's both on a process level, right? Which is like, make sure that your organization has the process and procedures with which to take this feedback and then reintegrate it into subsequent product releases. But also on like a data level, there's a lot of interesting conversation coming into your bot. So, you know, depending on what NLP or AI engine you're using, like there is a facility to continue to train and improve, your technology. And the way you do that typically is to take a look at your data and feed it back into your NLP or AI engine, right? So to make sure that the processes and your technology are incorporating and learning, because I think that's one of the most exciting things about the coming like NLP and AI revolution is that these algorithms and these machines that we're making are going to continually improve in the same way that you and I improve. For every time I talk to you, I learn something, right? So that's true for Kai. I learned so much from our morning conversation. And I think bestowing that ability into our products is going to make them more human, which is this learning loop. And that's super exciting to be able to be a part of, right?
Okay. All right, Dennis.
Cool.
Thank you so much for having us. And
yeah, thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And see you around. And also, you have every year the
Superbot. We have a Superbot conference here in San Francisco every year. Yeah. So hopefully you can make it next year. This year was great. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, you made it to the end. Congratulations. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really, really hope that you like it and also that you learned it a lot. If you have any questions about the topic that we discussed, please write us a comment and also find us on Twitter. Just look for @chatabotbot. I hope to see you next week with a new guest where we are going to chat about bots. Bye.